Good evening, everyone. It is 6 p.m. on June 22nd, 2021. This is a work session for the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska. And tonight we're going to be talking about the fiscal year 2021-2022 budget. And with that, I will turn it over to Lisa.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to start off the work session by making a very happy and exciting announcement, which is we have a finance director.
Yay! Yes.
Good.
That is.
Do we get cake?
Yes, but not for that.
But on the other hand, the pages aren't numbered.
I tried to number the pages and I couldn't figure out how to do it. Patty, I actually did.
Okay.
I'm sorry about that.
Well, let's just rejoice in the finance director for about a minute, and then we'll get on to the pages
we'll
here.
That's right. Go ahead. Just start kicking the crap out of me right now.
My guess is Mason can put page numbers on here.
I don't know what you thought about. Lisa, nice job. I got page numbers on.
Yeah, actually, I have them too. I guess
okay, I have my calculator
Patty.
Ready. Let's get going.
It's going to be a bad one.
Yeah.
Next time, I'm going to put in the agenda free beer.
There you go.
That would bring him in.
See I'll see
that.
That
improves
things. Single malt scotch would make me look.
I there can make any of those things happen. So I'm actually going to start off talking a little bit about where we're at closing out previous budgets, because that is what is going to help us get to a point where I can tell you where things are at for the coming fiscal year. So we are closing out the FY20 audit, admittedly many months later than it should be, but there is a silver lining in that, and the silver lining in that is that we have discovered as we were going over all of the CARES Act, tallying in our accounting system, that we left approximately $200,000 on the table in terms of staff offsets for FY20. Jamie Roberts and Robbie Marshall have been working extraordinarily, like you can't even imagine, to pull all of this stuff together. Jamie's created spreadsheet after spreadsheet, and we are working with M. Lawton, who is our consultant with Clear Idea Accounting. That's the financial consultant we've brought on board. He is the other half of the financial consultant that's been working with the school district. So under normal circumstances, when I find out we've actually left that amount of money on the table and we're going to be able to recoup that in updated reports updated CARES reports, I would say, holy cow, can we even do that? Because we've spent money out of CARES anticipating we had that $200,000. So we are, as we've discussed previously, resubmitting items that were previously charged out to the CARES Act to FEMA Public Assistance. We believe the amount of money we're going to be getting from FEMA Public Assistance is about $200,000, just over $200,000. So we think we're in pretty good shape there, but we're going to be keeping a very close eye on it. Given the amount of money that was found in FY20, my assumption is we're going to find stuff that wasn't accounted for as we do close out for FY21. You will notice if you did take a hard look, there are only a couple of budgets in here that show CARES Act offsets for FY21. And the reason for that is because things were accounted for inconsistently in the system with regard to staff offsets. So we're addressing that, and all of those things are going to be taken care of with budget adjustments, journal entries that M. Lawton are asked to help Robbie with. So anyway, I just wanted to let you know we'll be monitoring that very closely. So we will be working here right after. Actually, I was going to report on this in my manager's report, but I will be out starting tomorrow for a week. I'm headed to Valdez for my mom's birthday. But right after I get back, we will be sitting down with M. Lawton to do the closeout stuff for FY21. And that closeout includes a number of things that are not finished yet. In the discussion that we had prior to the last assembly meeting, I mentioned to you that revenues coming into the different departments were not all booked in AccuFund, and that's because we have different accounting systems in some of our different departments. The Nolan Center, we're 99% finished with the Nolan Center. However, we have not booked any revenue into the system for any of the port and harbor departments since January. So all of that revenue is not taken into consideration this last year's budget, nor are we able to show fund balance because of that in those enterprise funds moving forward. So that's one of the things that will be coming to you in the near future. So we also haven't booked all of the revenue, I don't think, quite for Parks and Rec, and I think that's it. So anyway, booking revenue is something that needs to happen. It's not just revenue that's come in from the departments that has to be manually input into AccuFund. It's also anything where we get an electronic payment. So we have received the National Forest Receipts payment to the tune of $700,000+ in our bank account. It's in the bank statement, but that has not been booked as revenue into the accounting system yet because it's a manual input that normally the finance director would do. And so these are part of the year-end wrap-ups that we will be doing with our financial consultant in order to be able to provide you with a closeout as we're preparing for the audit for FY21. And that is part of the reason why you do not have a clear picture and some of these budgets aren't finalized, especially in terms of the enterprise funds with fund balance being shown in terms of reserves. And so the plan moving forward is to work through all of these closeout activities that need to be done and then systematically start to bring to the assembly every meeting a couple of these budgets for you to review in detail and look at, and then we will make whatever amendments are necessary. We already know, I already know, even though I've handed you a budget here, that there are going to have to be some substantive changes. I'll give you a for instance. I didn't get confirmation from the police chief until I think it was yesterday or today, actually, maybe. He, again, this is just one example. He got a bill for about $30,000 for the management of our 911 system. And he said, this is crazy, this can't be right. Actually, he got a call from a vendor saying, you owe me the maintenance fee for this, for monitoring the 911 system. And Tom said, okay, send me the bill. And he was expecting it'd be a couple $100s or something like that. And he got a bill for $30,000. So what actually happened is the city and borough of Wrangell received a grant for the 911 system and prepaid for 5 years of the maintenance fees, the monitoring fees. None of us knew that. Nobody had any idea that that wasn't in the budget someplace and that we were going to have to do that. So he just got confirmation that, in fact, after shopping around and looking to see, basically going out and doing phone requests to see if anybody else could do this, this guy that we've been going with has as good a system and monitoring as anybody, and so this is an expense we're going to have to include in the budget moving forward. So these are some of the things that are going to be brought to you that are coming in here at the last minute, unfortunately. So just to give you again a little bit of a wrap up on FY21, a number of weeks ago I shared with you guys a scenario based on the first two quarters of sales tax revenue that we had, that I thought if sales tax revenue continued to come in at the same levels that it was, we would potentially be looking at a surplus, because we only budgeted to take in $1.88 million in sales tax revenue this year, 63% of which would go into the general fund. As of the last meeting that I reported to you guys, I think we were at 2.7 total, and we still have one quarter to go. And so we won't know the final outcome of the sales tax revenue until the last day of July or the first day of August, because it's a 30-day lag from when people have to pay. So given the fact that we've taken in far more sales tax revenue than we anticipated, with the care, with the projected CARES Act offsets to staff that we budgeted for FY21, we were at a $400,000 surplus. Given that we took, because we made massive cuts, as you guys know, we went to the drawing board and cut last year. Given that we've taken in so much additional sales tax revenue, and that we have at least as much, and I think more, in terms of CARES Act offsets in FY21 than we projected. Based on my calculations today, we're at 900,000, and I think we budgeted 860 in FY21. I think we will have a surplus, even though we've had significant revenue revenue losses based on COVID in places like the Nolan Center and operating in Parks and Rec and operating at DMV and things like that. So that's for the general fund. There are more losses, obviously, in some of the other departments like the port and the Marine Service Center and others. So just because we may have a surplus moving forward does not necessarily mean that we can spend. And so there will be some revisions to these budgets that are in front of you, and some of that may be some decreases. I'm actually anticipating there will probably be some decreases. Yes?
Speaking of decreases, I thought the municipal assistance was going to steadily decrease.
It is. We've got one more year of a reasonable. I was surprised. The estimate slightly increased from last year.
Right.
I got that off a spreadsheet from AML. Alaska Municipal League put together that spreadsheet for us. And I was a little surprised. It's like a $15,000 bump or something.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. And I was expecting it to.
Yeah, it's supposed to be decreasing by 30% a year. So if it's not recapitalized, and I haven't heard anything about that, actually, I need to check with Ray Matuszewski. We still need to look at revenue declining, certainly.
Right.
Yeah. And so unless that gets recapitalized, it will start to decline at 30% a year. But we maintain for this fiscal year, it'll be in FY23 that stuff starts to decline by 30% a year. That being said, there's money in the budget. It will depend on whether or not the governor decides he wants to line item veto it or not. But I made mention previously that the legislature had set aside initially $80 million in the budget for disproportionately economically impacted communities in the state. Wrangell is one of those communities specifically listed. Because of COVID, and a couple of you did not get on the assembly until after we did this. In August, we declared an economic disaster here in Wrangell because of COVID and because of the fishing season that we had last year. So Wrangell is among those communities significantly disproportionately impacted. I think a number of you saw, I've sent out an email to the assembly with the letter I sent to our members of the legislature.
Yeah, that place.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
Well, in Juneau, that outlined what our losses were for FY20, FY21, and potential for FY22. And so that $80 million number that was originally in the budget in Juneau was based on the fact that the legislature thought they were going to get 70% of the ARPA funds in the first tranche. They're only going to get 50%. So that number was backed down from $80 million to $50 million. But Wrangell potentially still has, if it survives the governor's veto, we have the potential to see some of that $50 million coming in for this year. The other thing I mentioned at our last meeting in terms of revenue is the ARPA money that we're getting this year from the Federal Recovery Act is $485,000 and change. That is listed as revenue in the general fund. but that money can be used for a number of different things. So we can certainly pull it out of there and put it into its own fund and use it for other things. As I said, it can be used for water and sewer infrastructure. It can be used to offset lost revenues. It can be used to give community grants, do, you know, whatever we might decide it needs to be used for. But, Mr. Mayor?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Patty.
On the SRS transfer to our streets, is that like 4% or something? There's nothing indicated for
right. So
FY22.
I didn't put that transfer in for streets for FY22.
Do you think we should do that though?
Well, the reason that I didn't is because streets is part of the general fund, and I'm projecting a surplus. So I didn't think it was necessary to transfer from the SRS fund into the general fund. The other thing I want to bring to your attention is we annually schedule to take $250,000 out of the permanent fund and transfer that into the general fund. I am not doing that at year closeout because I think we're going to have a surplus, and I don't feel like we should be robbing from the permanent fund to put money into the surplus of the general fund, because the surplus of the general fund, as a rule, either sits in that portion of our operating capital that is managed by Alaska Permanent Capital Management, or it sits in a bank account, not making anywhere near as much money as what sits in the actual permanent fund investment. So if for some reason the sky falls and we need double the money for this coming year, then we can come back to you and ask for that. But right now, I'm not planning to make that transfer at year end. We also had scheduled to transfer $30,000 out of the pool permanent fund into Parks and Rec Special Revenue Fund. Again, Parks and Rec, even though it's considered a special revenue fund, is funded almost completely by the general fund. Again, because I'm projecting a surplus, I didn't feel like we needed that money. I felt like the general fund could make that up. So I just wanted to let you know that.
I think that's wise.
Yeah. So I am still projecting the $250,000 transfer from the permanent fund into the general fund for FY22, but for 21 moving forward, that's what we're doing. As it relates to the enterprise funds, the solid waste department is going to need, in my opinion, and was indicated in that early budget submittal that I gave to you guys, an immediate rate increase. So as soon as we get into the new fiscal year, we'll be coming to you with a recommended rate increase prior to doing a rate study. The Public Works Director and I sat down a handful of weeks ago and just, you know, calculated what we think a minimum increase needs to be, and so we'll be bringing that to you. And that's the amount of that increase will depend on whether or not you decide you want the solid waste department to pay the sales tax fund back. I know there's a lot of, it's like we need a string diagram to show where all the money's going back and forth here, but we transferred $632,000 from the sales tax fund into the capital fund to pay for the new baler project. And depending upon whether or not we want this solid waste fund to pay back the sales tax fund will depend on what that rate increase is. Tom and I worked through what a reasonable repayment schedule would be like over a 10-year time period. So anyway, that'll be something that comes to you fairly soon after the new fiscal year.
Lisa, do you want to blast through this and then have questions, or do you want Okay, so if you have questions as we go along on each of the
points. I'm just sort of giving an overview.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I just didn't know how you wanted to do it. So, you know, Patty forced her own way. So, go ahead.
The wastewater fund is holding its own operationally and putting a little bit of money into savings. And that fund is probably in good shape unless there's a significant capital project need that comes up. Mr. Wador is here and can probably speak to this a little bit more. We are delving into some issues, as has been just briefly explained, with regard to our 301, it is 301, right?
301H
waiver. And it seems like the state is going to get involved, and that's going to mean some significantly higher removal rates in terms of contamination. Mr. Mayor, I have a question.
Sorry, go ahead. Yeah, no, just finish that, and then I'll jump in.
And so what that may mean in terms of a requirement for increased treatment going into the future, that's not going to be an immediate threat this year, but it's something we need to look to the future on. So,
one of the glaring ones that jumped out on me on this one is line 76,600, and your draft budget item is 85,000 for personal benefits. Our fiscal year 2021 was 36. Was that due to CARES offsets?
So I'm sorry, I'm looking here on the calendar.
Your actual 2020 was 81, and your actual 2019 was 41.
Yeah.
It just seems like such a jump. You're
right.
Doubling some.
I'm going to be very frank with you. Part of my frustration was the inability to get as accurate numbers to you as necessary. I tried to get actual numbers that were appropriate here, but you'll see in certain areas some stuff is missing, and this is an anomaly that I'll need to understand. That something's not right there in terms of what I was able to pull from the system.
Right. It just seems to me that if it's not a CARES Act, you're way over on the 85. But I'd also be curious why we doubled between 19 and 20. Mm-hmm. And then concurrently, you went in 21, the adopted amended amount. And I'm not quite sure exactly when that was amended or adopted. Patty, do you remember? Did we go in and change? The reason why I say that is that it was at 55. But our year-to-date actual is 36, and we have what, like, very little time left.
I would suggest that this year-to-date actual isn't 100%.
Okay.
But why the jump from FY19 to FY20, and now where we're at for 22?
Because it's 1.5 employees.
Yeah.
That's what concerns me. If we're paying $81,000 in benefits for 1.5 employees, that's
a lot.
That's actually not. That's.
It's an impossibility, I guess, is what I'm saying.
No, it's not an impossibility.
You don't think so?
No.
How do we do 41,000 in 19? You're at 81,000 in 20.
I'll have to figure out what the anomaly is there for sure, Mr. Mayor. But if you think about health insurance, if somebody is on our family health insurance plan and what that is monthly, and you've got two people on health insurance, I mean, I understand it's 1.5, but and then you think about PERS benefits, and you think about all of the other taxes and things that go into it, I mean, I'm happy to give you guys a detailed breakdown of some examples of wages paid out so that you can see.
It's fine. If we could just look into those numbers.
I will.
It's glaring to me that there's discrepancies. That'd be good. Thank you.
So there are a number of places where the actuals for FY21 are probably not correct, just because I mean, I augured in on budgets. As you know, there were a couple of times I emailed extraordinarily frustrated having augured in trying to figure stuff out. And part of that is my inexperience in having to be the one pulling these numbers. Normally, this would be stuff that the finance director would do. The other thing is my inexperience with the software and inability to pull the information. So I apologize.
It's in other departments, too. So if you look at the water, it's a similar sort of thought stream going across there.
Okay, I'll make sure that I take the first thing. note of that.
Sorry, Lisa, I apologize. If you look, if we move on, as I go through, those line items are completely messed up. If you look at, if we go to sanitation, and you look at your fiscal year 2022 draft, you're anticipating $51,000 in salaries and wages, and $52,000 in personal benefits, personnel benefits. And if you look at fiscal year 2019 actual, it was $50,000 in wages and $19,000 in personal benefits, less than 50%. So, and that's 100 plus percent on the other one. So something's messed up on that. And I know it's key strikes. It's not, I know this isn't, this is not money out. This is key strikes or pulling data.
I went line item, basically, and looked at every account in our budget. I'm not kidding you. I went line. I didn't do one of these downloads where you download it from the system and dump it into an Excel spreadsheet and call it good. No, I went and checked line item by line item. So where there are anomalies, I'm willing to admit I made a mistake someplace. Absolutely, but it may be just the information I got out of the system.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm not blaming you for doing it wrong. I think it's bad input. So, because it's too bizarre, the actuals to the...
Yeah, I'll make sure that we're addressing that.
Good.
Well, and the harbor's administration.
Yeah, the harbor's budget is...
Yeah.
The other thing I want to make sure you guys realize is that we should be having something that is not here in any of the budgets is the PERS on behalf revenue. And that is the money we get back from the state for PERS, the Public Employees Retirement System. Excuse me, that's another one of those manual offsets. I have absolutely no idea how that's calculated. We'll be working with our financial consultant to try to get that figured out so that then we can get actuals in and appointed to all of these budgets and estimates for next year.
The other thing I noted just on your power sales, and Rod might be able to speak to this. So you have $850,000 for 2022, and you had $378,000 in actual in 2021. And I appreciate maybe we're anticipating that another processor will open up or something, but I don't see how we're going to over double our revenue between the 2 years. That seems a little skewed to me.
Talking about the kilowatt, the
your sales.
Oh, large commercial. Oh,
yeah, $850,000 in 2022 and $378,000 of actual in 2021. I just don't see how we're going to over double.
Well, right. What's interesting to me is why we're so low this year, and we were the budget actually more reflects 2019 and 2020 actuals. So I need to figure out why there's this anomaly for this year.
Yeah, that's very strange because it was $835,000 in 2020.
Here's what I actually think happened here. I think it's possible these revenues did not get updated to reflect where we are at currently, and these were put in early, like in March, rather than in updated to reflect like through.
Oh, and we have processors running.
Yeah, we've, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, could be.
Yeah, I'll double check these.
No, the other thing is that in 2021, Rod, if I could ask, were we running, was the second plant running in 2019, sorry.
Was we were, yes, in 2019, yes, that was so. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in 2019, with the optimal draw of the system, we were at 879, 864 in revenue, and we're projecting 8 feet in our 2022 budget. Are you anticipating that Trident's going to be back up and running?
I am, but I have not had that confirmed to me yet.
So, no, Trident is not running.
All day or
no,
not.
The reason why I didn't change that is because our actual for 2020 without Trident running was 835,581.
That's correct. The Trident was not a part of the...
The 2020.
That's correct.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Then.
Yeah.
Thank you. Just out of curiosity, what is making up that difference in that large commercial?
I can't speak to that.
Well, I downgraded the 2020 budget relative to Trident not running. And so if you look at 2019, the difference between the large commercial and the 2020 budget, I calculated it to be right around a $40,000 drop, and in fact,
that's what it was.
Actuals actually reflect.
Okay, thank you.
So you're thinking that this $378,000 for actual.
I think that's.
It's just not. It's
I
just
think
stuff
it's
that's
not
been
as
entered.
Updated.
You missed
this.
You just haven't captured it.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
And if I might, you might look and see that with a few exceptions, almost all of our revenue streams are down quite significantly across the entire board.
Sure.
So that's just. Something's got to be
right. I think it's the timing. I think these are the numbers from March rather than the numbers from.
Well, we might anticipate that we might have seen a small or odd decrease due to COVID, and commercial sales may have been down generally because of that.
We'll double check the electric revenues.
Perfect.
For sure.
Thank you.
Now, this is one of the systems that does not automatically download into our Accutime, right?
So that's correct.
So we've got potentially four different softwares running.
Right. So we have a
manually loaded.
Billmaster actually is what is used to do all the finance, do all the utility work. And so the utility information has to be manually input into the system as well. But Sherry is actually taking care of that. Mm-hmm. So that is one of the things that is up to date actually. That being said, while we're on the electric budget, there are a couple of things that I want to mention to you. One that we'll be bringing to you after the new fiscal year as well. The first is that Rod has come up with a plan for new meters that is, rather than the AMI, going with an AMR meter, and it's about a fifth of the cost of what was projected for the AMR meters.
And that was what, $600,000?
It was some 500 and some 575,
wow.
I think we were at. So this is about 100?
It's probably closer to 150 or there in the ballpark, but what it entails is changing all of our meters to readable meters, and then purchasing what is called an Itron mobile system, which allows you don't get rid of your meter reader, but it allows you to literally drive around and pick up signal from each meter.
It precludes us. There still has to be someone doing the meter reading function. It doesn't have to be a whole meter reader position. So
right.
It allows us to either continue to keep that position vacant or to get rid of it entirely.
I would imagine there's significant time savings if they don't have to get out of the vehicle, get out of the vehicle.
Yes.
So what may have been 2 or 3 days would go down to probably a day would be my guess if you're just driving.
We're hoping.
Yeah.
We're looking into that pretty significantly, but before we move past or get to the FY22 budget, I wanted to present everything to you and get your blessing before we move too heavily on this direction.
The other thing that Rod and I have discussed at length is, as the Assembly is aware, we are currently without a diesel mechanic. And in fact, not only had we planned at one point to have a diesel mechanic, but a backup diesel mechanic. We are at a point right now with our generators Rod and I discussed this, and Rod went back to EPS and asked them to provide a maintenance plan. And so Rod is putting the final touches on that preventative maintenance plan with our generators. And we actually believe that rather than hiring either of those positions, we can enter into a contract with a diesel mechanic to come in and do regular regular preventative maintenance on the generators. And then that person would be on contract. That individual, or more than one individual, would be on contract to respond within a period of time if we have an emergency. And those rates would be preset, so it wouldn't be like we would call and, oh yeah, I can come, but it's $1,000 an hour. They would be under contract for certain things. So we believe we can move forward managing the maintenance of the generators in that way. And we believe that will significantly impact the bottom line in terms of savings. So right now, we are not planning on refilling that position.
Are any of our vehicles diesel?
The mayor of Ketchikan reached out to me about the possibility of combining utilities into one utility and finding efficiencies for all three communities, the SEPA communities, through that process. But that's a big project, but maybe a smaller project is perhaps Ketchikan could provide some of that expertise on contract, because I know, you know, one of the problems with a local guy is that if he goes on vacation or he's out moose hunting and we don't have someone to rush in, but...
Well, we have more than one here that is capable of doing that. The other thing, and Rod and I actually had that conversation, Mr. Mayor, after you shared with me that you'd spoke with Mayor Sievertson about shared crews or things like that. So we've had those about following up on that and seeing where that may lead. But we're doing everything we can to make that operation as lean as possible, because we know a rate increase from SEPA is coming, and we know that in order to meet our capital needs here, there's going to have to be a rate increase to address that. So looking at making the operating expenses as lean as possible is something that we need to do.
So I bring it up every year, pole rental. You got zero down for this year, but have we done a study on our pole rental? And we need to look at that. Those poles are getting strapped to the max with other people's stuff on it. And are we getting the maximum value out of our pole rental?
We do have a pole rental. We do rent the poles to GCI and APT. And there's an audit of those poles that are being utilized every year. It should be on here.
I saw zero for 20. I'm pretty sure I just, you know, I'm scanning quickly here, but it's always something I look at. And so we have had an audit done, and the audit was completed.
Well, we just recently, I'd have to check with Dominique, but we've recently concluded a poll count from either APT or GCI, but I can check with her tomorrow.
So this
talking to the guy who runs Ketchikan there, he said that they've gone to looking at how much weight is on the poles, because it damages their poles. And these guys are stringing more and more on our poles, and we're seeing it, you know, throughout. But I guess what I'm saying is, if you've done a pole audit, if you've hired a company to come in and evaluate the stress and the degradation of your poles, then I'm comfortable with that. But well, I'm pretty sure I saw zero.
Yeah, let me clarify. We have not hired anybody to do a stress analysis on our poles. What we've done is our agreement is to charge so much per pole, and that, and so we go through with their representative and count each pole that they hang stuff off of WMLP's poles.
The reason why I bring it up is that several years ago, Rod, we looked at it and we were well below what the going average was in other communities, and that's why we asked about it then. So just something to look at.
I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah.
We were out of sync with other communities, but I know that we do charge a rental or fee for a pole attachments.
One of the things here that is problematic that I did, this is one of the actuals is the, right now it's showing zero for pole rental, and what's very concerning to me is the FY 2020 actual shows 2,252, but we had almost 43,000 in 2019, and we're projecting 46,000 for this year.
So
what is happening here? That's an anomaly I need to figure out.
So in 2021 year to date actual, it was a zero, is what I'm saying.
Yes.
Right, it was. But 2020 was only 22.
And we're projecting 46,000 in 2021. Mm-hmm. And my point is that as they've increased, 2020 it was $2,252, which has got to be wrong.
Yes, something's wrong. Yeah.
And so,
if you look at 2019,
right,
that's more reflective, because these poll counts don't change.
Well, the question here is where's the revenue? Why don't we have it? So I need to figure that out.
And I guess further to that, Rod, all I'm saying is check in with the other communities, because I remember very specifically, I don't know if anybody else remembers, it was like dramatically different what we were charging pole rental as compared to other communities. And I don't know if they're, like when you said audit, I don't know if that means somebody comes in, or, but let's just find out if we're in the ballpark with other communities. Because the under, what's that called, underlay? Is what do you call it with all the stuff underneath the electric one? The underlay is increasing. Like I look at that Church Street, and it is just—it looks like Mexico now. It's just like wires everywhere. So.
So the other thing that I will tell you to this, and is that Rod has ready, has been working with Kim, and has ready a provision to increase the fees, not the cost of power, but the fees associated with the work that the crew does, because we're not keeping up with the cost of what it takes for the crew to. So that'll be coming to you at the first meeting that we have in July to increase fees for the electric department. So I've got the notes here on the pole rental and the pole audit.
Thank you.
Yep. So again, we're just kind of skipping over stuff here.
Can I just go back quickly too? I had a note here on the fire department. On the wages, my understanding was a lot of the wages were going to be. I'm trying to get back.
Yes,
to that.
Yes.
Is that one of these CARES Act reconciliation?
Yes,
okay,
yes,
thank you.
Yep. There are the vast majority of departments do not show the appropriate wage offsets. We have $900,000 in wage offsets, and most of those, almost all of those, are in the general fund for FY 21. So figuring out how to get those captured and reflected here, we will make sure we do that.
Thank you.
Yes.
Can you, Lisa, sorry, I just returned, are we on to miscellaneous fund budgets?
We can be.
Just on the, can you go over this hospital legacy fund? I always have a hard time wrapping my head around it.
Yeah. Oh, what's the page number? Just kidding.
Seven.
It's the
first page after the gray sheet, or like right after your miscellaneous fund budgets.
After the last gray sheet.
Yeah, after the last gray sheet.
See, that wasn't so hard, was it? The first one after the seventh gray sheet. All right. So we have a fund budget or a fund balance down here going into FY 22 of. $233,000. $487. So we believe we are going to expend $129,563 in FY22, which would leave us with a fund balance of FY22 of almost $104,000.
So this money was part of that grant?
No, this is the money that we got from the accounts receivable that we had coming.
Okay. So we can expend it on those.
Yep.
Okay.
So we still have $317,000 remaining on our hospital grant. That cannot be used for anything here.
317.
Part of what we're doing with that money is purchasing a backup generator for the sewer pump station up there. And we've been working with Wold Architects, the folks that did the hospital, to design a small enclosure for that. That's taking a little bit longer than we had anticipated. We actually just had recent conversations with the hospital about being able to put it over, kind of at the toe of the slope, over where the existing pad is where the pump station, the concrete pad is for the pump station, and the control panel. Thank you. So we're talking with the hospital maintenance folks about seeing if we can put it there. So.
Okay. Is there a deadline on that money?
Yeah, it's extended through June 30th of 2022.
June 30th of 2022. I just don't want to, if we can do something in collaboration with the hospital that does something to assist them, I just hate to see us give
No,
them.
We're not. The pump station's going to take, and the enclosure for that, or the generator's going to take a fair chunk of that money.
Okay, good. Yep. Thank you.
Yep. Yep. Okay. Any more questions on the legacy fund there? The other thing I wanted to make sure that you guys know, excitingly, the debt service fund, zero. We don't have any money to pay this year. So that means that is also about a $270,000 hit that normally came out of the sales tax fund into the debt service fund that won't be going. And so if you want to, I realize we're jumping all over the place, people. It just keeps things exciting, I think, don't you?
That's very exciting.
To not go through the budget systematically.
Very exciting.
I'm trying to make the best of this, and I appreciate you.
Drive me crazy.
I appreciate
you. The OCD
you.
Lady at the end of the aisle is not happy.
It's okay. Grabbing my teeth.
Don't do that to him.
So if you guys turn to the sales tax fund, with no...
Three down from the gray sheet.
No, I found it.
I knew I was failing when I did. So, as you guys are aware,
Back to the hospital utilities and stuff and heating. Did we get a real clear indication on the cost per month?
We do have a pretty good estimate, but I'm going to let Amber speak to that really quick because she and her staff have are cutting that down significantly by basically turning the heat off in the summer.
It's cold in there.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so we generated an expected monthly cost primarily to get us through this current fiscal year, and we have a budget amendment for that. And so based on those monthly costs that we developed for that purpose, we projected the next fiscal year based on that monthly figure. We have reduced the heat in that building. We don't need as much now. And I think that was budgeted about $2,500 a month for the heating oil. So we're saving a good chunk of change.
Okay.
As long as the weather keeps up and we're able to circulate the air and just keep the humidity.
Okay.
Level.
Thank you.
So I realize we only have 10 minutes left. I just want to quickly go through the sales tax fund in the way that it's laid out this year. And let you know that once we're working with our auditors, I'll have much clearer picture for you. So the sales tax fund is broken into three separate funds, actually. There's the overarching sales tax fund, which we bring in all of our money, all of our sales tax money, as revenue. And then 68% of that gets transferred automatically into the general fund by code. 4% is reserved for streets, and 28% is reserved for health, sanitation, and education. The streets and the health and sanitation and education actually are separate funds. And so what should have been happening every year is that that 4% amount and that 28% amount should have been transferred out of the revenue fund into those separate funds, and that hasn't been happening. It's all been wrapped up into one. And in fact, the way the auditors are showing stuff is they're not even showing the 68% in the FY19 budget. They didn't even show 68% coming into the sales tax fund. They just showed it going into the general fund. That's not the way that we're managing things. And so that's a conversation I'm going to have with the auditors. So I've set this up a little bit differently. What you actually see here is all of the revenue coming in to the sales tax fund here up under the 22,000 number. And then you see expenditures and transfers out. 4% to the sales tax fund and 28% to the health, sanitation, and education fund. And then you see the budgeted expenditures out of those funds.
Is that a conglomerate of the 3-4 years that it was not done, or is that just for the 22?
No, this is...
It's just for that
that's,
year?
It's just for this year, just for this coming year.
Okay.
Because that's 100% of the tax revenue.
Okay.
We're projecting $2.6 million in sales tax revenue.
All right.
Yep,
okay.
For next year.
Okay, I see.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So you're not showing any transfers out for
2019, 2020, 2021.
You're showing general fund transfer
so
to streets of 100,
here,
but nothing
here's
to
where,
pay.
Here's where things get really convoluted. So in 2019, we took in what I show in the sales tax fund in the system right now is the $2.18 million that you see here. The revenue or the transfers out to the general fund equal $2.17 million. And so when Robbie and I went back and we looked at what happened, it appears that the 68% was transferred to the general fund, but then there was a mistake made, and there was a 4% transfer from what appeared to be the balance of the streets portion into the general fund, and a 28% transfer from the health, sanitation, and education portion of the fund into the general fund. So almost all of the sales tax revenue we got in 2019 was transferred into the general fund. And that's not something that the auditors caught. And so I have to have a conversation with them about this. We may need to have the general fund actually pay the sales tax fund back because it got 32% more revenue than it should have. And that's just kind of sitting in fund balance. So there's when you take a look at every single account in your system, you realize things that are going on that need to be fixed. So again, I realize we're spending an hour going over all of this stuff, and I'm sorry about that, but there are a lot of cleanup things you'll be getting reported out on as we go through stuff with the auditors.
Lisa, can I take the last few minutes here to let folks ask any other questions that they might have?
No, I need to control
you
the narrative.
You need to control the narrative.
Yes.
Patty, do you have anything for us here? You had list?
I thought you said that you weren't going to transfer money to the pool for the school.
Where? No. So that's the utility stuff. We
is
do
that
every,
for just yep, utilities, yep, yep. That 30,000?
Yeah,
okay.
From the sales tax fund. The 30,000 that I was saying we're not going to take is from the pool permanent fund. If I could actually just,
and,
Mr.
Oh, and then we're going to transfer an additional 150 for the Baylor?
So it's not... It's not. I know it's under the Baylor line item there, but that is for to do the divestiture pre-planning. So I have it in the budget. It's up to you guys. But if you guys want to do the divestiture pre-planning for solid waste to find out if that's viable, we're going to have to spend about $150,000 to get it ready to have the information we need to get out. One of the things that I talked about being, you know, $60,000 or $70,000 was just the environmental assessment that needs to be up there. Amber confirmed with the firm that we have in doing our other environmental assessment work that it is at least that. That's just to do the borings and do the report.
And then the certificate of necessity, is there a cost to that or a time?
So I asked the attorney to look into that. He so I asked him if he was capable of assisting us with that or if we would need to use another attorney. He's got a colleague that has worked previously for the Regulatory Commission of Alaska that he thinks would be far better. He actually just emailed me today and said he had more information on that, and I asked if Tom and I could wait to touch base with him on that until after I get back. So we'll have a better idea of what that's gonna look like in the near future.
Thank you.
Yep. If we can just quickly hit the permanent fund.
Mm-hmm.
And by that, I don't mean hit it and take money out. So you'll notice here that the money from the cold storage lease goes into the permanent fund. We have not received a payment for the last 2 years from Trident.
Sorry, permanent fund. I'm having a hard time finding it. Can you just give me
almost the last
page? Okay, so it's under special accounts.
Yeah, it's under hospital legacy, right behind
the
back
page of hospital.
Okay, got it.
So we've not received a cold storage lease payment over the last 2 years. That lease is in holdover right now. And I had a conversation with Nick Omer. He's checking into it, and our staff here is generating some information, so we're working on that to make sure that that's being resolved. The other thing I wanted to do is, as you can see here under expenditures, the expenditures related to the permanent fund management fees have never been outlined in the budget because they always just come out of the fund, you know, the management of the fund. But I feel like that's disingenuous. We need to be looking at what those fees are, and that's something you guys are asking me about regularly. So I've got those outlined here in the budget. Just I wanted to bring that to your attention. And we'll keep track of those.
Okay, we've got a minute or two left here. Anybody else with any further questions? Dave, did you want to say anything about permits? No. Okay. Bob, any questions for you? Ann?
Well, I'm just assuming this is going to look totally different when it all gets shook out.
Well, I think, I just want to comment on that. I think at this point, given the circumstances that we've been dealing with, that this is a yeoman's effort and that we're going to have to remain flexible and light on our feet and able to come back and assist Lisa in getting the final product pushed through to the end. And I want to commend Lisa. I know she has put in major hours getting this pulled together. And without a finance director in place, it's been very, very difficult. And Robbie Marshall, I'll call out as well, too. And although it's not optimal, it's not what we usually get, it's not our usual process, it's been a screwed up year. And so I'm not surprised that this is looking different than it normally does. But we need to be flexible, so, and we'll work. Patty?
And also, I appreciate the accounts receivable report that we had from the harbor for tonight's meeting.
Yes.
But I would really be interested to know if we have experienced an increase over this last year, 2001, because of the COVID
you'll
situation.
Be getting an accounts receivable of the electric department at the next meeting, and it will not be
pretty.
Okay, folks, we're getting very close here. We've got a minute or so left. We don't have a minute left, but thank you, Lisa. Thank you, everyone. Thank you to all of the department heads who came in tonight to answer questions. We didn't really hit you with much. Got off easy. Thank you all. And with that, we will adjourn the workshop. And Kim, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Lisa, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.